Good morning. I would like to call the Ninth Osage Nation Congress CISO session day four into session. Clerk, would you do our roll call, please? Or no, I'm sorry. Congresswoman Whitehorn, will you do our prayer, please?
Father God, we just thank you for this day. We just want to say that you're a good and a mighty God, Lord. And we thank you how you've always cared for your people everywhere all over the world, but specifically today for our tribe, for us Osage people. Lord, we thank you that you've always had your hand upon us and you've always had a plan for us, Lord. And we thank you for that. Father God, I just want to say that one of your names is the Prince of Peace. And I just say, bring your peace on to us today, Lord. Right now, I lift Speaker Shaw's family up to you and their loss, Lord. You're the God that comforts. You take care of us. You take us home to be with you, Lord. And we thank you for all your ways and all your plans. Just please be with that family right now and lift them up. Lord, I know we have other mourners within our tribe. I ask that you be with those families and comfort them. I ask that you be with those folks that we have that are in sickness of health, that you just strengthen them and you fortify them, Lord, as only you can, Lord. And just make it clear to them that all they have to do is call on you, Lord, and you send peace and comfort to them. Just be with us in our meetings today as we talk about things that are important to our people and to our nation, Lord. I just ask that you give us good hearts to talk about the things the way they need to be spoken about, Lord. I ask that we be kind to others and that we respect others, Lord. Help us with that. All these things I ask in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Clerk, could you do our roll call, please?
Congressman Bickhorst?
Present.
Congresswoman Goodfox?
Present.
Congressman Hamilton?
Here.
Congressman Keene?
Present.
Congresswoman Lemon?
Present.
Congressman Maker?
Here.
Congressman Potts? Second Speaker Redcorn?
Here.
Congresswoman Rivard?
Here.
Congressman Tillman? Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Here.
Assistant Chief Walker? Speaker Shaw.
Thank you, Clerk. The next item on the agenda is the approval of the journal, and you should have the journal from September 3rd in your meeting attachments.
Speaker.
Congresswoman Rivard.
Yes, I'll make a motion to approve the journal dated September 3rd, 2025.
Second.
Thank you. There's a motion and a second. All those in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? No. Thank you. The journal is approved. The next item on our agenda is an audit presentation by RSM for our annual audit. Treasurer, if you'd like to start us off. And then it looks like we also have some people from RSM that would like to present to us as well. Thank you.
It's actually RADW is the audit firm.
So
and I would like to say that for this year, the nation gets two audit reports. We get what's called the government programs report, which is the single audit. And that's the one you have to file it with the federal government 9 months after the end of the fiscal year, which for us ends up being June 30th. Last summer, I certified it on Friday afternoon between sessions in Pawhuska. This year, I certified it on Thursday morning before Gray Horse started. So we were almost a month sooner than we were last year. And then we have the nationwide or tribal-wide audit, which brings in all the component units and does the government-wide financial statements. Last year, we did that in September. This year, we did that at the end of June. And it is required by Osage law to be completed in July. So we met that deadline this year, and I'm very proud of that. My staff worked so hard and made that happen. It literally would not have happened without them. So now I will turn it over to Mike from RADW.
Clark, do we have
those
slides?
Yes, she can open them up.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Yes, we...
The auditor summary.
And I apologize for not saying RADW, but
no,
thank
fine.
You for being here this morning.
Yeah. That's it. Perfect. Fantastic. Good morning, everyone. My name is Mike Dearlam. I'm the principal auditor with RADW, overseeing the nation's annual external audit. We conduct these audit exit communications every year with tribal governance after the completion of the audit. So really, it's our honor to be here in front of the Congress and sort of going over these results. Please stop me if you have a question. I know there's a lot of sort of required communications in these audit exit communications, and just want to make sure ultimately that we're on the same page. There's a line of communication between the external auditors and the governing body of the Osage Nation. So. We are, again, discussing, audits are always done after the fact, right? We complete our fiscal year, audits are done afterwards. We're talking about the fiscal year ending September 30th, 2024. Have some of mine and my associate Mukhtar's information on here. If we could go to the next slide, please, whoever's controlling that. Not sure who has it up. Oh, whoops. Problem. No worries. All right. Yeah, just a little about REDW. We really emphasize working with tribal governments across the country. Over the past 5 years, our firm has actually audited more tribal federal award dollars than any other CPA audit firm in the country. We have offices here in Oklahoma. I work out of our Phoenix office and several other office locations, really centralized in places where there's a lot of tribal governments in the area. So we can go to the next slide here. Yeah, and just a map of different states where we're conducting and working with tribal governments on there. So if we can go to the next one, please. Just a little bit about our team on the next slide here. There's myself. Oh, you're okay. Myself as the principal auditor. Ultimately, my role is to work with our audit team, directly with your management team, and ensure that the audit's completed timely and in accordance with the appropriate auditing and accounting regulations. As Clark had mentioned earlier, the task this year was we want to get up to the timeline established by the Osage Nation's requirements to have the audits done by these dates. And so we went into the year really kind of with that in mind and, you know, mutually agreed upon due dates on both sides, because it really takes two sides to complete an audit. Agreed on due dates. So when are we as the auditors going to receive the information we need to complete the audit? And then we're going to commit to the Osage Nation to completing it by these specific dates. So it was great working with that team, but my job was overseeing that. We also have Chris Tyhurst, who's the concurring partner. There's a second partner on the engagement that is kind of a final review of the report and ensure compliance there. Also with me today is Mukhtar Al-Mukhtar, audit manager. He'll cover a few of the slides on today's presentation. But Mukhtar works very closely with the team, reviewing work papers, ensuring that we've done a sufficient and thorough audit over the financial records of the nation. So we can go to the next slide, please. And this just kind of covers more or less what these communications are for. As I mentioned earlier, we want to have an open line of communication. Ultimately, we're responsible to the governing body of the Osage Nation. You're who we're responsible to. So it's partly to open up the line of communication there. Additionally, we want to cover any findings, any results of the audit that the Congress should be aware of, be available to ask questions, also cover our views and analysis of the nation's accounting practices and policies, judgments, estimates, and other key information that was discovered or reviewed during the audit. So go to the next slide, please. Thank you. So just covering the status of the audit, Clark mentioned earlier there are a couple of different audits actually conducted. So there's two separate, you know, reports sort of that I'm holding in my hand here, one of which is submitted to the federal government, to the Federal Audit Clearinghouse. Your grantors have access to it. Ultimately, that's what we call our governmental programs department report. It's got all of your federal spending, of your grants, the required information that has to get uploaded to the federal agencies. So we have that report. That's what's given to the federal agencies. When we bring in all the other information, your gaming information, your other enterprise information, and other activities of the nation, we'll want to keep those proprietary and confidential in nature and not upload them to the Federal Audit Clearinghouse. So there's a secondary report, and that's really what we refer to as the government-wide or tribe-wide report. That's issued, and that's just, you know, held here just with, you know, those who have access to it at the nation. So those are the two reports. Our audit's conducted in accordance with a variety of different standards, generally accepted auditing standards, government auditing standards, which are a little higher threshold for government entities, tribes, states, cities, counties, etc. And then the uniform guidance, and that's referring to the requirements of an audit over federal award programs and auditing compliance over federal awards. Clark mentioned the dates, but, you know, getting those issued, the report dates being June 30th and June 25th, well ahead of where we've been in years past. So, yeah, again, a major accomplishment, really, ultimately, by your finance team, your accounting team, to be ready and prepared and have records up to snuff, up to the standards by the due dates to issue the reports by that time. So. Ultimately, what an audit is, and we talk about the audit objective on the slide at the bottom here, is to obtain reasonable but not absolute assurance that your financial statements are free from material misstatements, whether due to fraud or error. And that's, you know, maybe some accounting jargon there a little bit. But ultimately, what that means is if we were to take these sets of financial statements, hand them to a banker that we're looking for a loan from, or handing them to an investor or someone, an outside third party, that they could be confident in these numbers, that they accurately represent the financial position of the nation. That's ultimately the goal and objective of an audit. It's not to make sure that every single transaction is perfect to the penny. That's almost impossible. There's too many transactions. You know, auditors do things like sampling transactions. We use analytical procedures. You know, if an employee walked out with a pen, you know, the audit's not designed to catch things like that, right? So, you know, petty theft or things like that. We're really talking about making sure the financial statements are materially accurate. And so that was ultimately what we concluded. If we can go to the next slide, please. And ultimately where we landed was we've issued what's referred to as unmodified or clean opinions on the nation's financial statements for that fiscal year end. That's the ultimate number one benchmark. You know, you want to be issuing your audit reports with a clean opinion. It means, yes, Auditors concur that these are reliable financial information that accurately represents the financial position of the Osage Nation. So that's the opinion we were able to give on these records. All the records were available that we requested. If we selected an item, we select hundreds and hundreds of transactions to look at. We trace them to the source documents, the purchase order, the reviews and approvals. You know, we request all these items, and ultimately all of it was available to us. We communicate that because that's not always the case. As auditors, we go in, we audit tribal governments sometimes, and we select samples, and things are missing. Oh, we can't find that purchase order. We don't have approvals on this. We're missing that. We don't have the procurement documents. Everything that we asked for was made available to us. So the record retention was great, available to us, and very quickly provided by your accounting team. Noted here that cooperation was excellent. We had timely responses to questions and requests. The second bullet point there, a solid understanding of financial statement balances and ratios. And what that means is, you know, sometimes as auditors, we're coming in as a third party. We're not here every day. We're not involved in every transaction. So when we ask questions like, can you explain why this revenue went up or this expense went up or down? There's appropriate responses to that. You know, it's not, I don't know, we're not really sure what happened here. You know, there's good responses. And so there's an understanding of the activities that are happening and how they're reflected into the financial statements. That's a really key important thing for auditors to know that the management group, your accounting group, have an understanding of what's happening. So, and then accounts were reconciled, proper supporting documentation. Again, when we asked for bank reconciliations, backup for a huge listing of your capital and fixed assets, all that was there and reconciled, you know, very, very well with the financial records. And it had the appropriate reviews and approvals over all these documents as well. So we'll go to the next slide. We'll talk about some of these items on here. I'm going to pass it to Mukhtar for a few slides as well, but we'll cover in these next slides just some conclusions about accounting estimates, any unusual transactions, and I'm going to pass it over to Mukhtar for a few slides to cover those items along with internal controls.
So, yeah, next slide, please. So on this slide here, we're going to discuss the nation's accounting practice and policies. So in the financial statement, there's footnote number one. Footnote number one basically labeled accounting practice and policies. This footnote basically helps the financial statement reader understand what accounting standards that the nation is using to prepare the financial statements. Also gives the readers some important definitions like revenue recognition, gives you more information regarding the depreciation of the capital assets and more accounting policies. In the fiscal year 2024, there was no major changes in the nation's accounting policies and so it was consistent compared to last year. In fiscal year 2024, we have two new component units. The first component unit would be the Osage Capital Fund LLC, and the second one would be the Osage Nation Health System. So the Osage Nation Health System previously was part of the government. In 2024, it was a separate component unit. In regards to the scope of the audit, so we audit the governmental funds, the enterprises, many of the component units. Two of the component units were audited by separate auditors, which are Osage LLC and Osage Casinos. Next slide, please. Yep. In this slide, we will discuss accounting estimates. So in the course of day-to-day operation management, sometimes need to come up with accounting estimates. And this is like very reasonable in the course of business. Some example of the accounting estimates are allowance for doubtful accounts, depreciation and amortization expense, and health claims liabilities. So our role as an auditors in regards to these estimates is to make sure that they are reasonable, and the method that management used to come up with these accounting estimates are consistent when you compare it to prior years. And so In regards to that, we concluded that the accounting estimates used in 2024 were reasonable and consistent. There was no the methods used by management to account for significant or unusual transactions deemed appropriate as well. Distribution out to other governments in 2024 were totaled to $937,000. Next slide, please. So for fiscal year 2024, there were no corrected misstatements or uncorrected misstatements. So, you know, as Mike mentioned earlier, you know, for fiscal year 2024, the accounting records were properly reconciled. All the accounting balances that we reviewed were supported by backup documents, so there was no need to post any audit adjustment entries. So, so that's like reinforce, you know, the idea that finance department did a great job during the year to reconcile the record. So, as I mentioned in previously, so Osage Nation Health System for fiscal year 2024 had its own separate audit. So. You know, we conducted the audit and we issued an audit report dated February 24, and we issued also a clean opinion over the health system. Regarding fiscal year 2024, we also conducted a single audit report, which was, you know, issued separately, and it was issued in April. For our single audit report, we audited one major program, which is the Indian Self-Determination. It's basically the biggest grant that the health system has. So as shown in the slides here, the health system administer almost $24 million in federal awards. And the program that we audited probably represents 80% of total federal grant spend that year. In regards to the audit with the health system, there was the single audit results. You know, we didn't identify any findings, so from a compliance also, it was a clean audit. Next slide, please. Yeah, in this section, we will cover internal controls. So basically, the financial statements, you know, produced on an annual basis, they rely heavily on a system of internal control. Think about the different cycles that goes in a finance department, like payroll, internal controls, AP. So there should be like a control system in place to ensure that the, you know, the financial data produced are accurate and can be relied on. So our professional standards requires us to communicate to Congress three types of internal control deficiencies if existed. And so in this slide here that lists the three internal control deficiencies. You know, we'll start maybe with the most extreme one. It's the material weakness in internal control. And basically, it's defined as a deficiency or a combination of deficiencies in internal control that if existed, that there's a high possibility that a material misstatement would exist or a material misstatement won't be prevented, detected, or corrected on a timely basis. An example of a material weakness is, for example, not completing or performing the bank reconciliation on a monthly basis. The second type is significant deficiency. It's a less severe control deficiency, but it merits the attention of Congress. The third type of deficiency is the least severe one, is a deficiency in internal control. It's basically defined as a deficiency in the design or the operation of internal controls that will basically prevent employees and management from detecting, preventing, and correcting misstatement on a timely basis. So these are the three types of internal controls. So with that, I'm happy to report there was no material weakness or significant deficiency reported for the nation in FY24. You know, that's basically means that the financial statement, you know, this control that basically helped produce these financial statements can be relied on. You know, internal controls is not like it always can be improved on. So because you might have improvement in technology, change in regulations, so you gotta always keep updating internal controls to mitigate any new risks. Next slide, please. In this section of the presentation, we'll cover single audit, which is the compliance audit. So the nation received tens of federal grants and non-federal grants every year. So our role as an auditor in regards to single audit is to ensure that review whether the nation is in compliance with the grants compliance requirements. And so for this year, FY24, we have five major programs that we audited. We audited the following programs: the WIC program, Indian Housing Block Grant, Tribal Self-Governance, Highway Planning and Construction, and the ARPA program. And so during our single audit, we perform multiple audit procedures to ensure compliance. We sample a number of payroll and non-payroll samples to make sure that expenditures incurred are allowable in regards to the grant. Also, we review the required grant reports, make sure that they were prepared correctly and submitted on a timely basis, and multiple other compliance requirements that they differ from a grant to another grant, depends on each grant compliance requirement. And so as a result of our audit procedures, we didn't identify any uniform guidance findings. So it was also a clean opinion over single audit, and the nation was in compliance in regards to its federal grants. Next slide, please. So in this section, we'll go over some required audit communications by our audit audit standards. So number one, there was no significant changes made to our planned audit strategy or significant risk identified. No specialized skills or knowledge were needed outside of our core engagement team to perform the audit or evaluate results related to significant risks. Next slide. So since our earlier audit planning communication meeting, there were no significant changes in the basis for our determination that we can serve as a principal auditor. Our evaluation of the identification, accounting, and disclosure of related party relationships and transactions. Next slide, please. There was no disagreement with management about matters that could be significant to the nation's financial statement or our audit report. And also, there was no significant difficulties encountered during the audit. Next slide, please. There are various representation were requested and obtained from management in the form of a written letter. Basically, it's a letter that we request at the end of each audit with several representation. Basically, management kind of testified that they provided us all the information needed and everything was, true. And so that was obtained. And finally, our engagement letter describes our responsibility in accordance with the professional standards and certain regulatory authorities with regarding to the independence and the performance of our services. Next slide, please. Yeah, with that, I'll give it back to Mike.
Thanks, Mukhtar. I asked Mukhtar just to do one thing for this presentation, and it was to not dress nicer than me. And, he failed in that. He's got the nice suit on. Just to emphasize something that Mukhtar had mentioned regarding, findings on the report. It was only a few years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, where there were dozens of corrected misstatements as part of the audit, where there were 3-4 findings reported in the audit. So there's been just some massive improvement in the financial record keeping, compliance, and internal controls of the nation. So, you know, sometimes it's good to think back and look at how we've improved over time. And there's definitely been some massive, you know, improvements at the nation regarding financial record keeping and reporting. So major accomplishment there for sure. We'll just cover some of the financial statement disclosures and, you know, some high-level information found in the financial statements. This is just a few footnotes in the report. The footnotes are really what we're talking about when we say, you know, you have your balance sheet and your income statement and cash flows reported, and then after that, there's dozens and dozens of pages of footnotes, right? And those kind of give more detail to the balances. And this is just covering some of the larger, more significant ones. You'll see two there. You'll see the cash balances reported between the governmental activities, business type activities, and component units. So different balances presented there, you know, 91 million in cash balances for the governmental activities, component units at about 144. The component units, of course, are going to cover all the gaming activity. So you're always going to see a lot of, you know, large balances there. Yes.
So what is the difference between governmental type activities and business type activities? Those belong to the nation because our component mm-hmm. units are our business entities.
Yes.
So what's the difference in those two categorizations?
Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of different, you know, different types of activities happening within the nation. The first distinguishment is a component unit is something that is legally separate to a level to where we classify, or the nation classifies it as distinct enough from the nation, we're going to call it a component unit. So that's, you know, Osage Nation Health, Osage LLC, gaming activity. And usually, you know, at some point, the nation's going to sit down, probably discuss with the auditors, let's look at the legal establishment of this entity and determine where it fits. So if it's legally separate and you're separate enough from the nation, we're going to report it as a component unit. Everything else is going to be either a governmental activity or a business type activity. And the business type activities are funds overseen by the nation that we're accounting for that maybe are a little more for profit in nature, you know, a little more revenue seeking in nature. So that's different than, like, you know, a grant fund, right? Or a fund that's just, you know, it's not, its goal isn't to turn a profit. Its goal might be to service community tribal members, right? So there's the distinguishment between those. Yeah.
So could somebody provide Congress with what falls under that classification
yeah.
and categorization? Not right now, but maybe in a later email.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's actually found in the audit report. So,
okay.
And I know we don't have them, but I'll just, you know, opening up, really all that's in your governmental activities is everything that falls under your general fund, which is a lot of different stuff, and then your grants and contracts fund. When we talk about business type activities, I'm just... headed to it right now here real quick. Revenue tax is some of the activity that runs through there. And then we have a lot of what are referred to as non-major enterprise funds, so some smaller business type activities. And then those are listed in note one of the financials. But I'm happy to break that down, and Clark too could provide some of that information of what's in there.
Thank you. That really helped me, that
yeah.
answer did. I do have one more question.
Of course.
About component unions.
Yeah.
When you were talking earlier about, you know, first introduction about how our nation is broken down into component units and how you did the, you said we have a new component unit of the health system, which I understand that, but you also called one out called Osage Capital Fund LLC. I guess yeah. my question there would be, is that a primary LLC or is that a subsidiary LLC of Osage LLC? I'm unfamiliar with Osage Capital Fund LLC.
It's not part of Osage LLC. It is the SSBCI program.
Okay. I don't ever recall personally, and I may have not been here when that happened, but I just don't recall. I don't recall that LLC. Okay. I'll have to look into it after this. Thank you.
It was Treasury. Money provided by Department of Treasury that allows the tribe to get into some loans and finance activity and some equity activity. It's Small State Credit Business Initiative, I think is what it stands for.
I guess my question would be, is it formed under our LLC Act or is it an outside LLC?
It's formed under our LLC Act.
Okay. I just wasn't aware of it. Thank you.
Sorry, just to add a little bit more clarification, it was a grant. I know it was a grant that came in. It may have been right before you got on, and it allowed us to do small business loans specifically is what it was. Yeah.
I just don't remember Congress authorizing the formation of a LLC called Osage Capital Fund LLC, which is part of Osage law. So if it's a primary, that's because I'm not familiar with it. Are you familiar with this LLC?
I wasn't familiar with the specific name of it. I think maybe the name has changed a little bit in clarification to us over this last year or so. But I was aware, I think we were all aware when that grant came out, that there was a need to develop an LLC for it to be administered. That's Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. It did occur before you were reelected, Congresswoman Whitehorn. We had a presentation down here concerning it. It was a pretty good topic for a while. And so, yes, it did occur before you got reelected.
And just as a high level, I just pulled it up. It is reported as its own column in the component unit section of the nationwide report. It had about $1.4 million in cash available and beginning to commence some of the lending activity and economic activity. So, yeah. All right. A little other information on some of the financial statement disclosures. The governmental activities reported a little under $93 million in investments. There's also a lot of inter-entity transactions. When you're a large government, funds are sending money to other funds. There's what's referred to as interfund and transfers and economic, distributions from gaming. All that is covered in Note 6 of the financial statements. And then we also have capital assets. These are assets that have a life longer than a year, that costs at least $5,000 or more dollars. And, these get put on our balance sheet and depreciated over their useful life. So for instance, if we buy a $30,000 vehicle, we're not gonna see a $30,000 of expense when we buy it. It's gonna be capitalized and depreciated over its useful life. We're gonna use the vehicle for 3 or 5 years or however long. So those capital assets are reported at $250 million for the governmental activities and $329 million for the component units. Go ahead to the next slide. Thank you. This is, it's a little hard to read, at least looks like from the slide here. Sorry about that. This is note 12, and this is just covering the different breakout of the fund balances. I don't know if there's a way to zoom in a little bit on it, possibly. It's a lot. There's so much activity. We try to fit it all into a slide, and maybe that's not possible anymore because this footnote keeps growing and growing. But there's different commitments across a variety of different activities that you're going to find in here. Ultimately, the nation's fund balance, which is sort of the residual equity after our assets and our liabilities. Oh, thank you so much for zooming in on that. That's much, much easier. But you can kind of see the non-spendable portions. Non-spendable are things that are usually consisting of things like prepaid assets and inventory, things like that. The primary, I think, meat of this footnote relates to the general fund and the various different commitments you're going to see here. We really take this information directly from your finance team, report this. This ultimately is the historical revenues over expenditures. So what do they have as a snapshot as of today for available fund balance, available resources into the future that are committed to these activities? Commitment from GASB accounting is not, is sort of a light restriction, I guess you could kind of say. So it's committed, we've designated, we're gonna spend it on this, but there's not a legal restriction necessarily to that level. There's still flexibility in how governance determines how to spend these funds, but these are how we've internally committed them for the time being. And so that information is all provided by your finance team and covered here, covers all that. So any Any questions there? I know it's a lot of stuff, and you probably could scroll even down a little bit more here. Maybe if you scroll towards the bottom. Great, thank you. So we have a total of $82.8 million in total commitments. So again, these are fund balances that we've committed and said we're going to spend these available resources on these, you know, various activities. And our total fund balance is, you know, $99 million in that general fund. Any questions on there? I know it's a lot of information, a lot of different programs covered in there, but yeah, take your time. Also important to keep in mind too, this is as of 9/30/24. This isn't as of today. We're nearly, 11 months after this snapshot, but gives at least a summary of that. I would imagine too, your finance department, I'm sure, could provide, you know, a little more current info on a lot of these programs and activities happening in a little more real time. We realize when we're reporting at the audit, it's already well past these dates, but. Fantastic, are we good to the next slide? Is that all right? Great. All right, we'll cover just some really high level information regarding the nation as a primary government. When we say primary government, this is talking about your governmental and business type activities, but not the component units. So not gaming or Osage LLC and these other component units. But total assets, you'll see over the past 3 years has grown from about a little over $800 million to nearly $950 million. That's a lot of growth, and you know the nation continues to grow. We've seen that for as long as we've worked closely with the nation conducting the audit, and the net position that's reported in the third sort of set of columns there, we refer to the net position as the financial capacity of the nation to continue providing services to its membership into the future. So a growing net position is really a strong sign that we have the financial resources to continue providing services to our tribal members and community into the future. So seeing that grow to this extent is really fantastic to see. And we'll jump to the next slide if we can. Now this is then the component units. Okay, the component units, again, similar growth, assets growing from $385 million to $550 million, and the net position of the component units from $358 million up to $478 million over that three-year 2022 to 2024 period. So fantastic growth and wonderful financial position to be in. Go ahead. And then we have our net distributions from component units. So our component units have activities. They perform well. What does that enable them to do? It enables them to transfer resources, transfer funds to the nation. So the nation can then administer those again to provide services to tribal members. And you'll see that over the prior three-year period at about $60 million in 2022, up to nearly $67 million in 23, and then a little over $64 million in 2024. Here then we have what's referred to as our governmental activities. So our governmental activities are administering these services, providing services, benefits to tribal members. And your expenses incurred are broken down, your various programs are broken down into different categories. This is how governments report their expenditures. We don't report on our financial statements payroll costs and insurance and things like that. Those are direct expenditures. These are functional classifications. So you'll see some of the larger ones here, general government activities at about a third, 36% of the total spending. You'll see health and human services at nearly 20% of the spending. Yeah, please go ahead. Yeah, that's a great question. Regarding policies, first thing we're going to do is verify that your policies at least meet some minimum industry standards. Okay, and if your policies don't align with GAAP, generally accepted accounting practices, we're going to report that, right? But it doesn't mean that all of your policies are perfect. I guess is the way I would put that. We did actually report a finding or a control deficiency at Osage Nation Health Systems because they don't have their own policies. They've distinguished themselves. They're separately functioning. They're still relying on the nation's policies. That's really not the best practice. So we reported that to their board and reported that as part of their audit. So go ahead.
And I just want to be frank, I still hear from the outside vendors it takes forever to cut a check.
Congressman Keene, will you use your microphone?
I still hear from, third-party vendors who do business with the tribe. They still wait, unusually a long time just to get a check from, accounting. So that's just one complaint I've heard. I just wanted to say that much. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, and if we note things that are, opportunities for operational improvement. I know in the past we've communicated to Congress that some information technology policy, considerations, some other administrative and operational opportunities for improvement. The audit more or less is going to focus on what are the policies that are not functioning well that are going to lead to a potential misstatement of your financials. If it's paying your vendors on time, examples like that, those probably aren't our audit focus area. It's really going to be more policies that might lead to issues with your financial statements. Would be more the area we're focusing on, just to kind of answer your question.
Thank you.
Yeah, want to go ahead, Clark?
Yeah, just to comment on that, the auditors, their job is to give an opinion on the financial statements. When we're talking about like efficiency of our policies and procedures and practices, that is more of a management function. And actually, the auditors can't participate in management of an entity that they are auditing. That would impair their independence. So for something on that, are we doing this the best way possible? What are areas to improve? That would be more of an area for OFPR than the external auditors. Because they literally, they can't exercise a management function. It is strictly forbidden by professional standards.
Thank you, sir.
All right, if we could jump to the next slide here. Just a recap of investment revenues and losses for the past few years. You see the kind of large post-COVID dip in 2022, but a nice rebound in 23 and 24. And that's very consistent. We compare this to measurables across other tribal governments across the country, and very consistent to what the general financial statement and investment performance was for a lot of entities for that time frame. And we can jump to the next slide. This is maybe go back one. There we go. Just wanted to point out, not necessarily audit related, but at RDW we participate in the NFOA and OSU annual or biannual tribal financial and accounting certificate program. I happen to be an instructor there, so you'll see me there with some folks from Osage Nation Health. What I wanted to report is that the Osage Nation, there was about 100 finance professionals in attendance at this last year. And the Osage Nation was the largest represented tribe in the country there. There's about 100 people. There were folks from Alaska all the way to the East Coast that attend this and receive this training. It's a several-day training, and the Osage Nation was the largest represented tribe in attendance. So great to see that, and really quite an accomplishment that the nation's investing in receiving that level of training and education on tribal finance. So, and the last slide here, this is just mine and Mukhtar's contact information here. Again, we really want to have an open line of communication. If there's questions from Congress, if you, you know, tonight and you can't sleep and you decide to start reading the financial statement report and you have a question about it, you can reach out to myself or Mukhtar. We're happy to answer those questions. And if there's, you know, questions or concerns on internal controls or other matters that you'd like to bring the auditors into the loop on, we're available for that. We really want to make sure we're working collectively with the nation, you know, for the betterment of this nation and for its people. So with that, we'll open it to any additional questions regarding the audit.
None. Wow. All right. Treasurer.
One I would like to do, and it was on one of the last slides. Can you go back to the investments? Okay. That one. I'd like to point out, now there was a capital, there was $1 million increase to the permanent fund that Congress did, but the balance of our investment accounts on 9/30/23 was at $7,522,681, and on 9/30/2024, it was $9,561,487.
Thank you, Treasurer. Congresswoman Lemon?
I think there's a part that I would like, you know, people listening in, we're getting to see it, right? But like the rebound, I mean, everybody, it's easy to focus on the negative, but where we came and how we made it back and how quickly we made it back, minus the $1 million, of course, that's impressive, honestly, because my investments aren't that good that I have. My return hasn't been that good, but I didn't have the highest percentage loss that the nation did either, though.
And that's something I'd like to point out, because the investments have been an ongoing project, as has our changes in how we're going to do our banking. But why I emphasize that is I wanted to point out that we made money on our investments in 2024. We're not losing money. They're not staying flat. We are still making money. And, you know, hopefully this Congress will decide to pass the limited waiver and we can make our banking change and start getting some more interest in that way. But it is something that has been a focus of Treasury, and I just wanted to highlight that.
Thank you, Treasurer Batson. Congresswoman Rebard.
Yes, thank you. My comments are, the first time since I've been sitting here, this is my fifth year, this is the first time that we've had our audits done in a timely manner, and it's the first time that I've sat here as a constituent and an elected official, and I know where we are in FY25. I know where all our fund balances are. I know what the cash is on hand. I know where we're going in 26 in projections, but all that ties back to where we are now, what happened in 24. You know, it's just like we got 24, 25, and 26. Most people don't realize us sitting here, that's where we're at. We're looking at 24, where were we, where we are now, and where we're going. But we can't do that effectively unless we have audits and timelines met and reconciliations done and closeouts. I want to compliment our treasurer working with all the component units, the LLC, the health, PBM. He has been trying to network and develop relationships with them because I'm so happy of the audience in here. Everybody, you know, besides our health, I'm very proud of their audit as well, that's in the audience, our Osages that are working to make these component units part of our general audit. It's they all tie together. And this is the first year that I'm seeing our treasurer ensuring that these folks and these component units are pulled in, but also respecting their independence. But he's actually having conversations. So my goal as an elected official is when I want to know how the LLC is doing, I want to call the treasurer. I don't have time to call their CFO. I want to call our treasurer and say, how are we? What's going on at the LLC? What's going on at gaming? what's going on at health, just the financial picture. And I feel like this is the first time we've been able to do that. And I just want to say thank you to Treasury and their team and the component unit folks, the LLC, the gaming, PBM, health, everybody involved. And I'm very happy sitting here. I feel really good, and it takes the team, and I just feel really good about it, and I'm very proud of our audit. I just want to say thank you, and I feel really good today, and I probably will call you auditors this evening and ask you questions, so thank you.
And while we're here, I would like to give a thank out and some recognition to my staff, current and former. There have been some changes, but this was a group effort that, you know, I can't keep all the books for the Osage Nation. I couldn't if I wanted to. I have to sleep sometimes. This would not have happened without the commitment of the Treasury Department staff, the Grants and Compliance staff, and the purchasing staff. And they deserve a lot of credit and recognition for this.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Well, I, for one, want to say thank you as well. This is pretty phenomenal to have our audit already wrapped up with such a good report. So thank you, everybody that had part in it.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you so much for your presentation. It helped. I also want to say that it's encouraging to me, at least, having sat with a lot of these budgets for this upcoming FY26 year, to feel a lot of peace and comfort looking at previous years. And same thing as Congresswoman Rivard said, to know that we're in a good position and we're safe and we're accounted for and considered. And so, yeah, it's a good foot to start off on as we start talking about budgets in this session for this fiscal year. So it feels good, and I appreciate Treasurer's Office and REDW for doing the hard work and diving in our stuff. So, and I appreciate the cooperation that you all got to experience. So that's a big deal. So thank you. All right, we'll move on to the agenda. And the next item on our agenda is reports of standing committees. Congresswoman Rivard.
Okay, thank you, Speaker. Good morning. Good morning, colleagues. The Commerce and Gaming Committee met on September 3rd, and we discussed the appointee of Mr. Bonnebert, and the final committee action was that the candidate is qualified by education experience, and there are no ethical or legal barriers to service. Voting yes, Big Horse, Good Fox, Hamilton, Keene, Redcorn, Rivard. We also met to discuss the appointee Stephen Blue to the Nation's Community Development Financial Institution. The final committee action was that the candidate's qualified by education and experience, and there are no ethical or legal barriers to service. Voting yes, Big Horse, Good Fox, Hamilton, Keene, Redcorn, and Rivard. We also discussed Claudette Carnett for the Gaming Enterprise Board. The final committee action is that the candidate is qualified by education experience, and there are no ethical or legal barriers to service. Voting yes, Big Horse, Good Fox, Hamilton, Keene, Redcorn, and Rivard. We also met to discuss the appointment of Marsha Harlan to the Osage Nation Gaming Commission. Final committee action is that the candidate is qualified by education experience, and there are no ethical or legal barriers to service. Voting yes, Big Horse, Good Fox, Hamilton, Keene, Redcorn, and Rivard. We also discussed the appointee of Mr. Bruce Pollock to the Osage Nation Gaming Enterprise Board. Final committee action was that the candidate is qualified by education experience, and there are no legal, ethical, no ethical or legal barriers to service. Voting yes, Big Horse, Good Fox, Hamilton, Keene, Redcorn, and Rebard. We also discussed the appointment of Raymond Redcorn to the Osage Nation Community Development Financial Institution Board. The final committee action was that the candidate is qualified by education and experience, and there are no ethical or legal barriers to service. Voting yes, Big Horse, Good Fox, Hamilton, Keene, Rebard, one. Abstain from Congresswoman Redcorn. We also discussed, the Osage Nation Enterprise Board appointee of Mr. Mark Sims. The final committee action was that the candidate was qualified by education and experience, and there are no ethical or legal barriers to service. Voting yes, Big Horse, Good Fox, Hamilton, Keene, Redcorn, and Rebard. We also discussed to the Tax Commission, Mrs. Rhonda Wallace, that the appointee, the final committee action was that the candidate is qualified by education experience, and there are no ethical or legal barriers to service. Voting yes, Big Horse, Good Fox, Hamilton, Keene, Redcorn, and Rebard. Thank you, Speaker.
Thank you, Congresswoman Rebard. Next item on the agenda is the introduction of bills and or resolutions. Seeing none, the next item on the agenda is motions and notices. Congresswoman Rebard.
Yes, thank you. I would like to make a motion or make a notice that the Commerce and Gaming Committee will meet today immediately following session until 3. But also my appropriations meeting will be canceled on Monday.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. What time will the Commerce convene?
Good question. I would like, well, depending on when we end, I would at least by 11:30. I don't know how long session will go, but immediately following, maybe a 5-minute break in between.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Motion to adjourn until Tuesday morning.
Wait, hold on 1 second, please. Congresswoman Good Fox.
I'd like to notice that the government ops meeting for Monday at 2:00 will be canceled. And
can I have all your papers?
Huh?
Can I have all your papers?
These?
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to.
Congresswoman Good Fox, will you push your mic in?
Yeah, sorry.
Push it down into the little holder thing. There we go. Thank you.
Okay. I move to place Bonna Bear on the next session agenda for consideration of confirmation.
Second.
Thank you. There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, Clerk, will you do a roll call vote, please? Or can we do a voice vote? All those in favor, please say yes.
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 Any opposed, no. Thank you. Motion passes, and he will be on the next session's agenda.
I move to place Stephen Blue on the next session agenda for consideration of confirmation.
Second. Thank you. There's a motion and a second. All those, or any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed, no. Thank you. Motion passes.
I move to place Claudette Carnett on the next session agenda for consideration of confirmation.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all of those in favor, please say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed, no. Thank you. Motion passes.
I move to place appointee Marsha Harlan on the next session agenda for consideration of confirmation.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Any opposed, no. Thank you. Motion passes.
I move to place Bruce Pollack on the next session agenda for consideration of confirmation.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say yes.
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 Any opposed, no. Motion passes.
I move to place Raymond Redcorn on the next session agenda for consideration of confirmation.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
Abstain. Thank you. The motion passes.
I move to place Mark Sims on the next session agenda for consideration of confirmation.
Second.
Thank you. There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? No. Thank you. The motion passes.
And I move to place Rhonda Wallace on the next session agenda for consideration of confirmation.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? No. The motion passes. Is that it? Okay. Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Motion to adjourn until Tuesday morning at 10 a.m.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? No. Thank you. We're adjourned until Tuesday.